We're going to go to the word of the Lord today. We're going to go to Acts chapter number 1, first of all. I tell you what, let's do. Let's stand for the reading of the word today. Do things a little different. We like to mix it up, or I do. I don't want to get in a rut. A rut is like a grave without ends. Okay? We're going to Acts chapter 1, verse 4, King James Version here. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. So what is the promise of the Father? Verse number 5. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. One thing that sets this church apart from the other 17 or 18 in town is we like to have the Holy Ghost moving in here. We like to have the Spirit of God moving in here. We just don't want the Holy Ghost up on the throne. We want Him in our hearts. Amen? We want Him in our services. When we pray in Jesus' name, we want people to get healed. We believe in that. Amen? Yeah? So the promise is the Holy Ghost. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So the Holy Ghost is a powerful thing. It's a promise. It's a promise of the Father. It is the Spirit of the Father. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Amen? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. All the Southerners down south, they say, oh, yeah, see, Jesus was a Southerner. Paul was a Southerner. They said, y'all. So I asked him one day, I said, well, what do you, I was talking to some guys from Texas, and I said, who do you consider a Yankee? Of course, I was from Maryland, so I was a Yankee for sure. One guy piped up and said, anybody north of Dallas? I said, my Lord. So you were dealing with a tight club there. Anybody north of Dallas? So this happened, amen? The promise came, and it happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 3 says this. Oh, did I not get the other? Did I miss one? Oh, there it is. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly, everybody say suddenly, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the promise. They were filled with the power. Right? And began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've been in here long enough today and had your ears tuned in, you heard some tongue talking today. We like tongue talking. It's called glossolalia. Amen. And so, it happened. It happened for them. And it came upon them. And it's for everyone. Look at your neighbor and say, it's for you. Look at them again and say, believe it or not, it really is for you. Believe it or not, it is for you, okay? Acts 2:15, these people are not drunk. This is Peter talking here. Because the crowd was saying, these men are full of new wine. They're drunk. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise right now. Would you, Lord, we just thank you. We give you the glory and the praise. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Anybody glad you got the Holy Ghost? Anybody glad out of 8.5 billion people in the world, you got it. Amen? Yes. All right, you can be seated. Amen. I want to preach today on the benefits of speaking in tongues. the benefits of speaking in tongues. Now, let's lay some groundwork here. They say, I've heard, that you should not... Where is she at? Where is Abby? Where is Abby? She gone. Well, that's not going to help me. Good. Come on, Abby. Come on up here. Come on. Come on. You decide to leave, you get on up here. So, I've heard it said that you're not supposed to eat before you skydive. I've heard that skydiving is dangerous. I've heard that skydiving, you know, you jump out of a plane and you could get wrapped around the propeller. I've heard that skydiving, you know, is very cold and you should dress warmly. You should wear like a Carhartt coveralls. I've heard that skydiving, you know why I'm saying all that? Because I'm a pro, I'm a professional, but I've never skydived before. Abby, you've skydived before, you and your friend. I believe without me knowing it. Yeah. Well, I know one thing, I ain't skydiving. I don't like heights. I get up on a roof, clean a gutter, and I'm ready. I just freeze. Somebody call the fire department. I'm like a cat in a tree. Amen. But it's amazing to me how many people know about speaking in tongues and they've never done it. You got a hold of that yet? It's amazing to me how many people there are that are professionals and they about speaking in tongues and they know all about it, but they've never done it before. Now, I can tell you about snow skiing because I've snow skied before. I can tell you about water skiing. Believe it or not, I can tell you because I have water skied before. You're trying to think, that big lump of lard up there, how's he going to ski? I'm going to tell you what, the heavier the lard is, the faster you go down a ski slope. Guaranteed. I always won. When we went on youth trips and I took the youth group skiing, I won because I was the fattest guy in the group. They thought they thought they could beat me. And any of them that got ahead of me, when I got up beside them, I just nudge them off, of course, and they wipe out, and you just keep on going. A little Dale Earnhardt there, a little tap. Just a little tap's all you need. I don't know, you may have run into people that they know all about speaking in tongues, and they've never done it. I have relatives who, when email first came out, my relative was telling somebody, you know, you need to get on email. You need to start using email because email is the way to go. And here my relative didn't even have a computer. If you want to know something about something, you find somebody that's done it. You find somebody that's qualified to do it. If I want to know about skydiving, I'm going to go ask Abby because she's crazy enough to jump out of a plane. I ain't jumping out of no plane. I have no desire to jump out of any plane. Amen. There are benefits to speaking in tongues. A lot of people say, use scriptures and they twist them all up. We're going to hit some of those today. 12. There's 12 benefits, okay, that I'm going to talk about today. Now, the number 12 in the Bible is the number of government. There were 12 disciples. There were 12 apostles. There's 12 foundations to the city. It's the number of government and foundations. So I'm going to talk about 12 things that tongues does for us today. First of all, we have to employ the Holy Ghost in our lives. Okay? How many of you have lawns? Good. It's not a trick question. All right? And in the summertime, you have to employ your lawnmower. Otherwise, your lawn's going to look like that field right out there. It does no good to have the lawnmower in the shed if you don't run the lawnmower. Right? And just because you may have a shed full of tools doesn't make you a mechanic either. You may just have a lot of money or some rich relatives that give you gift certificates to Snap-on. Or back in the day, Craftsman or whatever it is now. You know what I'm saying. So we've got to use what the Lord has given us. He gave us the Holy Ghost. And he said, you shall receive power when you get the Holy Ghost. Now, Number one, the Holy Ghost is to edify us. It's to make us strong. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going through some scriptures today. You might want to write them down. You might want to take some notes. You might want to come back and look at this broadcast. I don't know what you want to do, but you better do something. King James says, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Now, that is key. Keep that in mind. That scripture is key there. Because a lot of people who have never spoken in tongues say, see, you're supposed to just prophesy and not speak in tongues. That's not what it says. Because in the next verse, chapter 5, or verse 5 of 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I wish all of you spoke in tongues. Oh, it's quiet. New Living Translation. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. But one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Does that make sense? So guess what? When someone is speaking in tongues, personally, they are strengthening their spirit man. I have told this church a lot of times, you know, when we, this is our prayer room in here on the Saturday nights, on the weekends, and some of you come in here during the week and pray, and that's awesome. I appreciate that. That's great. And I say this, I say, you know what, I would speak in tongues 95% of the time and speak in my own language 5%. Because I have to make my spirit man strong. If my spirit man is strong, my spirit man can carry my flesh, my natural man through life. If my spirit man is not strong, then my fleshly man can weigh down my spirit man and we start making wrong decisions. And we start doing wrong things and going to the wrong places. So Paul said, he said, a person who speaks in tongues strengthens themselves personally. But someone who prophesies strengthens the whole body. And we want both. Not one over the other, we want both. These work together like peanut butter and jelly. You like peanut butter and jelly, Nikki? Yeah. How about mustard and bologna? I kind of liked them. Wow. Man. Better go on. You got to have prophecy, and you have to have tongues. The inner man has to be strengthened. The church has to be strengthened. Let's go on. Jude, verse 20. There's only one verse or chapter in Jude. Verse 20 says this. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. New Living says, but you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, Pastor, when I pray in tongues, I don't know what I'm saying. Exactly. You're not supposed to. Pastor, when I pray in tongues, how do I know what I'm praying? I'm going to show you what you're praying. You're going to be praying the will of God. We have scripture for that. That's one of our foundations today we're talking about. You have to have this inner man strengthened praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I just got this revelation. I must be a slow learner, and I'm sure somebody probably realized it long before I did. But I realized a year or two ago that God gave us tongues to edify us and to pray His will. Because if we really knew what His will was, with our mind and our reasoning, we would abort it. We would say, I ain't doing that. First thing is, how many times did we drive by this church on the way to work at our other church? Hundreds of times, because we lived right over there in Airport Road. Hundreds of times. We drove by here a couple times a week. And if the Lord was sitting in the car and saying, you're going to pastor a church right down there, I said, I ain't pastoring no church down there. I'm not here to pastor a church. I'm here to do this ministry. I'm here to do that. You see, if we really knew what God wanted to do with us, we would try to change His mind. And so when we speak and when we pray and we build up ourselves, we speak the will of God in tongues because that way we don't know what we're saying. But you see, we are control freaks. I'm trying to say this nice. You people who like control. You people who are analytical thinkers. This is not an analytical walk. For we walk by faith, not by sight. There are some things in the kingdom you're just going to have to take with a grain of salt and say, Lord, you're the boss, and you know what I need. And I'm just going to have to trust you. So we build up our faith when we pray in the power of the Holy Ghost. Number two, to speak to God in divine mysteries. To speak to God in divine mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Nobody is understanding what you're saying. And that drives church people nuts. So you're just going around, blah, 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 just nobody knows what they're saying. You got to have a translator. You got to have an interpreter. Oh, that's wrong. No. That's not what it says. It doesn't say that he that speaks in an unknown tongue is wrong, and he shouldn't be doing that. He said that he that speaks in an unknown tongue, not talking to men, but talking to God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. I don't know, Amy, I may have been praying the last 25 years for you and I that we're going to go to and be missionaries in the Congo and live up in a treehouse like Tarzan and Jane and win the natives there. Maybe. Who knows? You see what I'm saying? To a man, it is a mystery. But we are speaking mysteries with God. We are in a different realm. When you speak in tongues, you are in a different realm. You're not talking to man. I'm not talking to Ginger. Me and Ginger, we speak English to each other, and it always is tongues. Always. Because when I say, I want to do this, she thinks completely over here on this spectrum, and I am clear over here. And it takes like a board meeting to just get together and figure this. And finally we get it done. It takes a while. And this phrase will come out, what were you thinking? Eventually it comes out, how did you think that? I mean, you know, anyway. You see what I'm saying? We're speaking to God, and God is speaking to us. He is putting this on us. So, to man, it is unfruitful. To man, it doesn't make any sense. But listen, it's a God thing. If you're able to speak with tongues, it is wonderful because you are in the presence of the Lord. You've got something living in here that a lot of people around the world do not have living in there. You have Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? Amen. Number three, to speak the wonderful works of God. We speak in tongues to speak the wonderful works of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 11, there are 17 nations who are represented in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. We read it today, Acts 2, 1 through 4, where the Holy Ghost falls on the day of Pentecost. The reason it fell on the day of Pentecost, Pentecost means 50th. It was 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? So they are celebrating what they call first fruits. It's a Jewish festival. They bring in the first fruits of the harvest. And so Pentecost was a celebration. There was a big festival going on in Jerusalem every year at that time. And that's when God decided to show up and show out. God said, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pour out my Spirit when there is a representative from every nation on this earth. Because I want everybody to see what I am about to do on the earth. This is where the church was born, brothers and sisters. This was not born in a Reformation. This was not born during the Renaissance. This thing was born in an upper room on the day of Pentecost. And the fire fell, and the Holy Ghost fell, and the power and the promise came into those who were present. Woo! So if you're part of this Holy Ghost movement, you are part of the original church. Now, I know there's big churches in towns all across America. Mary's in charge of them, and they say they're the first church. Whatever. Peter was the first pope. Good. Well, then do what Peter said. What did Peter say? Repent. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Get the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's what he said. We want a pattern family worship center after First Church. Amen? First Church. Jerusalem Church. Maybe we ought to start a daughter work and call it Jerusalem. Jerusalem. Yeah. Okay, keep on going. Preach. So we have Cretans and Arabs, and all hear these people speaking in our own language about the wonderful things God has done. If you've been around Pentecost long enough, when I say Pentecost, I'm talking about that experience. You've been around long enough, anything is possible. Anything can happen. Do Ann, she grew up in the South. Lots of Pentecostal churches in the South. Lots of them. Now, so people come to get the Holy Ghost, right? I've had people get the Holy Ghost coming up front in the altar. I've had them get it back at their seat and back at their pew. I've seen them get it at altar call after the preacher's done preaching. I've seen them get it during worship. I was preaching a 6-week revival in West Virginia. And on a Sunday night, they started singing. And I look back, and there's three people on this one pew. And the Lord says, they're ready to get the Holy Ghost. They start singing. I'm telling you, the power of God fell on them. And before I could even get back there, they were speaking in tongues. Right during the service. Right during worship. It can happen anytime, any place, anywhere. And God is no respecter of persons, and God is not in our time frame. God does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. You know what? He is the boss. So we let him do what he wants to do. And then all at once, you know, I'm preaching this sermon. I'm preaching in New York, upstate New York. And I didn't have anything to preach that night. You know, Brother Joe, that's kind of a hard, that's tough. You know, that Bible's got lots of stuff in it. But there is nothing, I didn't have anything I felt like I could preach. And I stayed in the pastor's office as long as I could. And I said, oh, man, what is going to happen? And they were singing, and they finally stopped singing. I'm like, I got to go out there. So I went out there, and they introduced me, and I got up there to preach. And I didn't have anything to preach, so I went to Luke chapter number 4. I was going to preach on the ministry of Jesus, where he went into the wilderness full of the Holy Ghost. He came out in the power of the Spirit, and miracles began to happen. I read my text, and I looked back, and there's a lady sitting on about where Frank's at, and the Lord says, she has faith to receive my Spirit right now. We're just sitting there. So you know what I did? I obeyed what the boss said. I didn't go on with my message. I went back and I said, ma'am, the Lord just told me that you have faith to receive his Spirit. If you'll get up and stand in the aisle, I want to pray for you, and God's going to give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost. She jumped up. She got in the aisle. As I walked back to lay hands on her, I didn't even get there to her. Before I touched her, she fell back on the floor. Oh, Lord. They fall out on the floor. You know, drunk people pass out. Let's get real down to earth. How many of you have been drunk and passed out? Raise your... Bernie! Long time ago. Okay, all right. Drunk people pass out. They thought they were drunk. Peter said they're not drunk like you think they are. It's only 9 in the morning. An alcoholic's just getting settled in at 9 in the morning. I know I lived with one. I grew up with one. Before I could get to her and lay hands on her, Brother Bernie, she hit the floor. When she hit the floor speaking in tongues. Before that service was over, I think about 23 or 25 people got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I didn't preach one more part of that message. I just said, Lord, let it happen. And 23 or 25 got the Holy Ghost on that service. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about the wonderful works of God. So it doesn't matter when, you know, you bring somebody up there and we all get around them and we're praying. Some of us are praying in English. Some of us are praying in tongues. Well, what are you saying when you're praying for somebody to get the Holy Ghost and you're praying in tongues? I don't know. Probably the wonderful works of God. I'm telling them how good it's going to be when you get the Holy Ghost, how good it's going to be when the power of God comes into your life. See, I have friends who are missionaries, grew up in Africa. And you know, in Africa, English is a tongue. It's another tongue. And I've heard them say that they've seen people get the Holy Ghost, Africans who know no English. And as the Holy Ghost begins to come in, they begin to speak in English. Jesus, you are my river of life. Jesus, thank you for redeeming me from my sins. Jesus, thank you for coming in and rebirthing me. Jesus, you are my God and my. That's what they were saying while the Holy Ghost was coming in. You see, it doesn't matter if we understand it or not. It doesn't matter if we can put it in our analytical mind and if the analytics come in or out. I'm telling you, we walk by faith and not by sight. But we are a people of promise and we are a people of power and we are a people that God is going to use in this last day. Woo. Lord. Number four, to magnify God. To magnify God. Acts 10:46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. That's pretty plain, isn't it? For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. You know, tongues are also for warfare. Oh, my. Tongues are also for warfare. Some of you men, we went to that men's conference up in Chicago a couple years ago, and Brother Eli Hernandez was there. You remember that? When Eli was there playing the drums, and he died 6 months later with COVID. But Eli Hernandez was a world traveler, evangelist. They went to a conference, and he said, the power of God moved so strong in that conference that they decided they weren't going to go out and eat. That they were going to go back to the room and they were going to pray. There was four of them sharing a room together. And he said, we went back to the room and we all began to pray. And he said, after a couple hours of intercession and prayer, one of the men got up and he began to twirl in a circle. And he said that he would stop and he would point his finger and he said these bold tongues would come out. And then he would turn and quarter turn to the next spot, like a different direction. And his bold tongues would come out. And he did that all four times, so like all four directions. And they just kept praying. And when it was finally over, they were talking after the prayer meeting. And one of the guys in that room grew up on the Ivory Coast of Africa. And he understood the language of French Creole. And the guy that was praying, he asked the guy that was praying, he said, have you ever been to the Ivory Coast? And he said, no. He said, do you know the language French Creole? And he said, no. He said, well, I grew up there and I know the language. And he said, when you got up and you began to twirl and you began to stop at different places and this different tongue would come out of you, he said, you were commanding in French Creole that the angels of the Lord would be released and that darkness would be pushed back from the north to the south and the east and the west. You see, brothers and sisters, we don't even really know what we've got a hold of. We've got a hold of a powder keg from heaven. We've got a hold of this power keg from heaven that is so explosive that the devil is afraid of you. You don't realize how afraid the devil is of you, because if we could ever get right on track, if we could ever get to where God wants us, we are going to be a nuclear threat to the enemy. Woo! That felt good to get that out. You guys are my therapy every week. Number five, helps you pray perfectly. Helps you pray perfectly. Now, wouldn't it be awesome to pray perfectly? Ladies, wouldn't it be awesome if you found the perfect man? She did. How about this? Men, wouldn't it be fine to find the perfect woman? Hopefully you did. We're going to pray perfectly. See, this kind of relationship and walk with the Lord is not just come in for 45 minutes, check it off, and leave. This is a walk. This is a relationship. This is every day. This is Monday through Sunday, 7 days a week. I get up, I tell sister, I say, hey, are you ready? Because she's still in bed. She's trying to get those extra 6 or 7 minutes because those extra 8 to 12, 15 hours that she gets sometimes wasn't enough. And I say, you ready? And she said, what for? I say, here he comes, Clint Brown. Lord, I praise you. He goes with me in the shower. He helps me shave. He helps me brush my teeth. He helps me get dressed in the morning. We drive to work, me and Clint. Oh, yeah. Why? Because I'm in relationship with Jesus. I'm in walking with Jesus. I'm walking in the Spirit walk. And I'm going to learn how to pray perfectly. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows the mind, what the mind of the Spirit is, right? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You want to pray the will of God? Pray in tongues. Pretty simple, isn't it? But how many times does it... I know the devil didn't tell any of you, you better get up because you're going to be late for church today. And I know the devil doesn't tell you, you know, you need to stop speaking so much in English. And you know, Nathan, you probably should pray more in tongues. I doubt the devil told you that. He's probably said, you don't need to pray in tongues because that don't make any sense. People think you're crazy. They already think you're crazy going to that Holy Ghost church. We're not going to mention any names. But we know who they are. Yeah. But I'm telling you, this baby is a walk. It's a lifestyle. And the devil doesn't want you speaking in tongues. You know why he don't want you praying in tongues? Because he knows when you pray in tongues, you're praying the will of God. It doesn't make any sense to you what you're saying, Mr. and Mrs. Analytical, and I got to control everything. But you're going to have to lose all control and have a trust fall in Jesus. Amen? You're going to have to learn how to eat that nasty broccoli on your plate. Huh? Now let's go into the New Living Set. And the Holy Spirit leads us in our weakness, helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Can you get me back here, Johnny Ty, on that camera? You got me? Okay. Watch this. I can't believe you raised your hand, Bernie. Still blown away. I'm teasing you. Verse 27, and the Father, who knows all hearts. The Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. So when you're coming in here and praying an hour, do 95 tongues and 5% English, the devil says, oh, Pastor, don't listen to the pastor. He's just crazy. He don't know what he's talking about. Oh, I think I do know what I'm talking about here. Anybody the devil told you to speak in tongues more? Did anybody the devil tell you stop speaking in tongues? Where are you at? Come on. Look at the hands. Yeah. Why? Is he the same one that told you to get up and get to church? You're going to be late. Whatever the devil tells you to do, do the opposite. Don't do that with your mom and dad. Just do it with the devil. If he tells you stop speaking in tongues, I'm going to speak in tongues more. If he tells you you better not go to church, I'm going to church more. If he tells me you don't feel good, you just need to stay home tonight and rest, I'm going to church because if I got to crawl in and put a flag up. Touch me, Lord. Touch me. Yeah? See what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Number 6, to give thanks well. To give thanks well.
Not just thanks, but do it well. 1 Corinthians 14:17. You still with me, Austin? Okay. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. You will be giving thanks very well, but it won't strengthen the people who hear you. When you speak in tongues, you're going to give thanks well. But the people who hear you, it's not going to help them at all. They're going to think you lost your mind. We can say this because he's no longer here. Old Brother Pete used to sit right up here, kneel down right here and pray. And I don't know, I think he fell asleep some because sometimes it was a Jesus, Jesus, and then there was a shoo, 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 shoo. And I didn't know where it was coming from for a while, and I thought, I got to take a praise walk during a prayer meeting. And I walked over here, and Pete was going, Jesus, shoo, shoo, shoo. I said, there it is. But I'm going to tell you what, when he woke up, he was speaking in tongues. He was somewhere with the Lord in the Spirit. Didn't make any sense to me, but he was giving thanks well. It didn't make any sense in my natural flesh. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's time that we let go of our flesh and let God say, I want to take you a little deeper. I want to take you a little higher. Number 7, to have the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. Romans 8:16, for the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. For His Spirit, New Living, joins with our spirit to affirm that we are His children. That Holy Ghost is joining with me. You know, we have a tendency we mess up sometimes. I know I'm not anybody standing here this week. All right, we got a couple. Good. Rest of us lied. We just didn't raise our hands. But anyway. We got that spirit inside. When we walk in that door, if we've sinned, we feel like cruddy buddies. We feel like trash. We feel this is the ultimate. We feel like scum between your toes. We feel bad. But you see, that spirit encourages us. Come on. Come on back. Let me touch you. Come on back. Let me join with you again. And that Holy Spirit starts moving again inside of you. You see, when you sin, I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this. When you backslide and you sin, you don't lose the Holy Ghost. Now, I know there's a doctrine out there that people say, oh, you lost the Holy Ghost. No, you didn't lose it. I'm telling you, when you lose the Holy Ghost, you're done. You are done. D-U-N. Done. Because you can fall on truth and fall on truth and fall on truth. But when God turns you over to a reprobate mind and you fall away from truth, there's a difference in falling on and falling away. And I used to hear him say, he backslid, he lost the Holy Ghost. But I talked to too many backsliders, and they'll tell you, when I get up in the morning, he still talks to me. When I'm doing the wrong stuff, I still hear his voice. He's still chirping at me. Hallelujah. You know why? Because Jesus does not give up easy. He's not going to give up easy. He's coming after that wayward son. He's coming after that wayward daughter. The devil wants us to think that he gives up easy like that. But the Holy Ghost joins with our spirit. Number 8, to know that you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And if children, then heirs, Romans 8:17. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. New Living, and since we are his children, we are his heirs. Maybe that's what's going on when somebody's up here. Or back there, we gather all around them for them to pray and get the Holy Ghost because we're heirs. Hey, I'm here to pray. Speaking in tongues, you don't even know what you're getting into. You don't even know what my daddy's got. My daddy's fixing to be your daddy. You're getting ready to come in the fold, big fella. Amen. Yeah. You're coming on in here. And so we just keep praying in tongues and praying in tongues. And here he comes. Oh, yeah. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Oh, you know what the Holy Ghost is? The Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've got the glory of heaven in us. When that Holy Ghost comes in, you got a slice of heaven coming inside of your spirit, man. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But if we are here to share His glory, we must also share with His suffering. Look at you. Oh, back here on the back row. Number 9, to strengthen you with might in your inner man. Boy, I like the way these seats are set up. Amen. You like this? It's nice. I tell you, it took a man with OCD and a laser level. I text Clark and I say, you don't have to worry about putting the seats down. I got them out. That was last Sunday. Frank didn't like it last Sunday. He couldn't feel Jesus where he was at. He said, I got to get back to my seat, Pastor. I think he's over here, wasn't you, Frank? Next morning, Clark comes in. When I walk in, he said, you didn't even hook the chairs up. I said, why? Why? We're going to have to take them apart again, move them again. That's too much work. I said, we can slide. Get some room. Man, strengthen the inner man. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened by might with his spirit in the inner man. The Holy Ghost strengthens my inner man. Got to keep me rolling. New Living Translation, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down in God's deep love and keep you strong. His roots are going to grow strong in you. Amen. Amber, we're going to have a song about the Holy Ghost. We got a song about that. We got a song about anything? Tongues, Holy Ghost, new birth. Whatever, your roots grow down. We want our roots to grow down. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Oh, the outward man, hey, we take a beating at work, don't we? Sometimes work's not very good. Sometimes going to Walmart's not very good. I guarantee you going to Walmart ain't very good. And I tell you what, if you go out and eat right now, it ain't very good either. We decided to go to Ponderosa the other night. We don't go there very often because I tell you what, it's spectacular. The food is good and the price is great. Great. Great means large. All right? Before we got out of there, I kind of looked up on the senior citizen menu. I still don't qualify. $22 a head. That was a buffet and a drink. That was a buffet and a sweet tea. Okay? That's all it was. We didn't get the filet mignon. We did not get to burnt tips. We didn't get nothing. Just that. Lord have mercy. We can't afford this. Life is tough. It's expensive. All of this going on, our outward man is getting buffeted and beat up. But Paul says here, he said, though our bodies are dying, our spirit man, through the power of the Holy Ghost, is renewed every day. It just keeps getting stronger every day. The higher Ponderosa's prices go, the more power I got to have in the Spirit. Amen. The higher gas prices go, the more power I need in the Spirit. Are you seeing what I'm saying here? If you get more power in your spirit, you're going to be able to overcome whatever the enemy throws your way. Number 10, to be a sign to unbelievers. Unbelievers. Tongues are for a sign to unbelievers. Let's go to New Living. So you see that speaking in tongues is a sign. Not for believers, but for unbelievers. Hey, I hear tongues, I believe in it. You hear tongues, you believe in it. Prophecy, however, is for the benefit of believers and not unbelievers. See how the Lord's putting that all together? Mark 16:17, this is in red. You know who that was.
You know who that was? That was the dog. That man, that was him. Mark 16:17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Church is supposed to cast out devils. I tell you, if the devil came out of some churches, half of people just get up and run out. The only problem is, I think that happened in the Spirit-filled church. People get scared and run out. And why are you scared? Why are you scared? Just the devil. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. Believers, follow them that believe. Believers, say believers. Come on, help me. Wake up. I'm ending this. Believers. Believers speak in tongues. Believers speak in tongues. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. Number 11, rest for the soul. Rest to the soul. Number 11, Isaiah 28:11-12. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. The today's English version says it like this. If you won't listen to me, then God will use foreigners, that's the Gentiles, speaking some strange sounding language to teach you a lesson. You see, the Jews missed out on the church age. So God said, I'm going to take foreigners, and I'm going to put my spirit in them, and I'm going to show you what's going to happen. And when it's all said and done, the church, us, and natural Jerusalem, natural Israel, are going to be rejoined back together. First Corinthians 14:21, in the law it is written, when men in other tongues and other lips will speak unto this people, yet they would not hear, says the same thing. I will speak to this people, own people, through strange languages and through lips of foreigners. But even then they will not listen to me. Number 12, to bring a message from God or for God to his people. I'm closing. To bring a message from God or for God to his people. Tongues. I'm going to put a deal in here. You know we have a podcast. Everybody know that? You know, we have a podcast. And if you will go on that podcast, I taught a two-night series on the ministry of tongues. Tongues is for the believer, for a sign for the believer. It is for self-edification. It is for warfare. Amen. And it is for the gift of tongues. Don't misinterpret the gift of tongues with the sign and the evidence of tongues. The gifts of the Spirit have to come out of someone who has received the Holy Spirit. Okay? Right? It comes out. And that is for the edification of the body. And here's where the non-skydiving, snow-skiing people get hung up. I wish, Paul said, you all speak in tongues. Wish you all could speak in tongues. But even more, I wish you could prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues. And they say, see, senor. I'll teach you some Spanish. You want to know some Spanish? Tacos, burritos, enchiladas. See? So that's what they say. They say, you see, even Paul said that prophesying is greater than speaking in tongues. Right after he said, I hope all of you speak in tongues. They forget that line. Because everybody in the church will know what you're saying. Yes, if it's the gifts of the Spirit in a service, yes, it will. Unless someone interprets what they are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. So anyone who speaks in tongues should pray also for the ability to interpret what has been said. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying. It didn't say don't do it. If I pray in tongues, my spirit... You can just come on out. My spirit is praying.
Y'all stand up there, it's looking beautiful. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. And that's all right. Because this is a faith walk. That's all right, because he's the boss. That's all right, because he chose it. Do you know, you ever wonder why God chose tongues? Because probably that tongues, the tongue is the most unruly part of the body. So he said, I'm going to take what you cannot ever control, and I'm going to control it. And I'm going to let you know that I am in control. Amen. So if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand. So this is the order of a public meeting. Now, you will see this church in this scripture. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize. When you meet together, you ready to play your music? Do-doom-doom-doom. Just give me a little intro. When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given, one will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. Now watch. Watch. No more than two or three should speak in tongues. What's he talking about here? He's not talking about personal edification. He's talking about in a church service when there's trying to be a message in tongues go forth. Okay, you see what I'm... You get a hold of this? They must speak one at a time, and someone must interpret what they say. But if no one is present who can interpret, then they must be silent in church, meet in your church meeting, and speak in tongues to God privately. He didn't say stop speaking in tongues. He said just speak to God privately. So we've had services here where there's a tongue, and another tongue, and another tongue, and there's no interpretation. What do? We go on with the service. See? Or we have a message in tongues, and someone interprets. Now, I have the gift of interpretation, and there are times when, and this is how it comes to me. Usually it comes to me, I will see a picture in my mind, in my spirit, or I will have the first line of what the Lord wants to say. And when I speak that first line, then the Lord gives more. Okay? But there are times when there has been a tongue that I didn't have anything. And I'll tell you what, I am not going to make anything up. Because we have the owner's manual that says, if there's no one there, go on with what you're doing. How about that? In the Bible, awesome. That makes sense? That's what we're doing. Tongues is a powerful force in our lives. Let's stand. Tongues are powerful, brothers and sisters. I want you to take the ministry of tongues, and I want you to use it for the glory of God in your lives. I want you to build up your spirit, man. I want you to get that man so strong in the Lord that no matter what comes along in life on Tuesday or Saturday, that guess what? God's got it all in control, and God can do it. Amen? Amen. One other thing. Casting out a demon. Years ago, out of a young man, probably in teenager, early 20s. And this demon was hanging on, man. I mean, we rebuked, we bled the blood. He was, and usually when someone has a demon, they're not just one demon. There's smaller demons that are his entourage. They come out first. They come out easy, okay? Look at that. Talking like, you know, it's just here's how we do it. But the strong man, you see, there's still a strong man. And so these other small demons, they had already come out, but the strong man was still there. And it was after service one night. It was way back in 1988. I'll never forget it. Way back in 1988. And if I told you where and when, you might know him. But anyway, it don't matter. Somewhere between here and Alaska. And while we were praying, the end of service, we could not get that boy free. Someone burst out in tongues. You remember this now? He burst out in tongues. Boom. And when he burst out in tongues, that demon went gone. And deliverance came. And that young man then is still living for God today. But you see, tongues were for warfare. Tongues were for warfare. Hallelujah. We're apostolic. We're Pentecostal. We're full of the Holy Ghost. Why don't you come on around? Let's come on around. Amen. The kids are getting crazy. They want to go eat. Come on. Let's all come together and worship. Celebrate Him today. Celebrate the power of the Holy Ghost. Those of you who have the Holy Ghost,
we love to
anytime.
Call your name. It's something we cannot explain.
Jesus, no other name, Jesus, no other name.
Lord, I got you to have this situation. I need you to take care of this situation, Lord. Amen. I want you to begin to pray in the Holy Ghost over that situation. Pray in the Holy Ghost over that situation. Pray the perfect will of God over that situation.